Welcome to The Mental Minute, an AI-generated podcast. Today, we're looking into something really fascinating, a psychological phenomenon that affects how we perform, especially when we're under pressure. It's called stereotype threat. We've gone through a detailed Wikipedia article and other research on this, basically pulling out the key stuff for you.
Yeah, it's a really important concept. It essentially explains this tricky situation where just being aware of a negative stereotype about your own group can actually hurt your performance,
wow,
even if you personally don't believe that stereotype at all. It's pretty crucial for understanding some persistent gaps we see in, you know, academics or professional achievement.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit. So what is it exactly? Stereotype threat.
Well, think of it like this. It's a situation where you feel like you might be at risk of confirming a negative stereotype about a group you belong to. So it's about the situation, the pressure, not about your actual ability. And what's really interesting and, frankly, quite impactful is how it's thought to contribute to these long-standing differences. You see, like, racial gaps, gender gaps, and things like test scores. That's why it's become one of the most heavily studied topics in social psychology. The impact can be just, well, really significant and often operates below the surface.
And it's not always the same strength, right? You're saying the situation matters, what makes it, like, stronger or weaker.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely not constant. Several things can amplify it. For instance, how difficult the task is. A harder task, more pressure,
okay,
right?
Okay.
Also, if you believe the task is a direct measure of your, you know, your innate ability, that really raises the stakes.
Makes sense.
And how relevant the stereotype itself is to whatever you're doing.
Hmm.
So if you're a woman taking a tough math test, a stereotype about women in math feels pretty relevant, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also seems to get stronger if you identify strongly with that group, and especially if you kind of expect discrimination because of that group membership.
Wow. So it's this whole mix of factors that can really turn up the heat. And the part that really gets me is what you said earlier. You don't even have to believe the stereotype for it to mess with your performance. How does that work?
Exactly. That's the really subtle, insidious part.
Mm-hmm.
The theory basically says that the anxiety you feel just from the stereotype being activated in your mind eats up your mental resources. It drains your working memory, that kind of mental scratch pad you use for thinking things through, especially the part handling words or numbers.
Uh-huh.
So that cognitive load, that strain, makes it harder to focus, harder to process information, and ultimately, it hurts your performance. And if this happens repeatedly, you can see how it leads to this downward spiral.
Yeah.
Less confidence, worse performance, maybe losing interest in that whole area. It's like a subconscious saboteur.
That totally makes sense. Just managing the anxiety takes up brain space. But it's not all negative, is it? I think I read something about a flip side. Can stereotypes ever actually, well, help?
Yes, absolutely. And that's really important to mention. There's something called stereotype boost. That's when people actually perform better because they're reminded of a positive stereotype about their group.
Ah, okay. Like if the stereotype is your group is good at this.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Just making that identity salient might give you a little performance edge.
And then there's stereotype lift. Sounds similar.
Related, but different. Stereotype lift happens when people do better because they're exposed to negative stereotypes about other groups.
Hmm.
It's less about boosting your own group and more about that comparison, feeling sort of advantaged.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was a classic study with Asian American women. It showed how tricky this is. They did better on a math test when their Asian identity was highlighted, tapping into that positive math stereotype. But they did worse when their gender identity was highlighted, tapping into the negative stereotype about women and math. It really shows how powerful and unconscious these identity effects are.
Right. And the evidence for the main threat effect is pretty solid, you mentioned. Lots of studies.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly robust. Over 300 studies by around 2015, and many more since. The examples are really wide-ranging, too.
Can you give us some examples? Where does this actually show up?
Sure. Take chess players. One study found women performed worse against men only when they were reminded of the stereotype that women aren't as good at chess.
Oh.
Or think about entrepreneurship, often seen as a male domain, right? Mm. Stereotype threat lowered women's interest in starting a business. But if entrepreneurship was presented as gender neutral, their interest was just as high as men's.
Huh.
And a golf study was fascinating. They told participants it was a test of either natural athletic ability or sports intelligence.
Okay.
Well, the white students did worse when it was framed as athletic ability, while the black students did worse when it was framed as sports intelligence. It completely flipped based on the stereotype invoked.
So it really isn't just about race or gender then?
Not at all. It affects all sorts of groups. Studies show it impacting white men in athletic tasks or men being tested on, say, social sensitivity, which is sometimes stereotyped as a female strength. Even just who else is in the room matters. Women taking a math test with two other women scored higher than women taking the same test, but with two men present, about 15% lower in that case.
Just the presence of others. And does it start young, like with kids?
It does, unfortunately, which is really key for education. A study with kids, like 6 to 9 years old, found that those from lower socioeconomic backgrounds did worse on a test if the instructions sounded really evaluative, like a high-stakes test. But if the instructions framed it as just a game, that gap disappeared compared to higher SES kids or the other group. Shows how important framing is in the classroom.
Definitely useful for teachers. What about the other end of the spectrum, older adults?
Yeah, age stereotypes play a role, too. One study primed seniors with either positive or negative ideas about aging. Those primed with negative stereotypes did worse on memory tests and even physical tasks compared to a control group. They felt less confident. Although, it gets a bit complex here. Some other studies found that activating age stereotypes could sometimes, surprisingly, improve memory. So the mechanisms might be a bit different for older adults, not always straightforward.
It really sounds like this underlying stress, does it actually show up physically? Is it just in our heads or in our bodies, too?
Oh, it's definitely in our bodies. Research shows African Americans experiencing stereotype threat have measurable increases in blood pressure.
Whoa.
And another study had women watch a video of a STEM conference. If the video showed more men, the women watching showed increased cardiovascular activation. Their bodies were reacting like in a stress pattern.
So a real physiological response.
Absolutely. There's even research linking this to social power. High social power tends to produce an efficient cardiovascular response. Calm, challenged, low power, or feeling threatened like under stereotype threat, produces an inefficient pattern. Stressed, taxed. And all this links back, potentially, to health disparities and adverse public health outcomes. It's not just about test scores.
It's quite profound, the physical link. Okay, so there's tons of evidence. But surely not every single study finds this effect. Have there been exceptions?
Good question. Yes, there have been some. A big study in the Netherlands with high school students didn't find a significant effect, but the researchers themselves pointed out limitations. Maybe the type of test wasn't sensitive enough, things like that. They called for more research. And it's important to look at the bigger picture. Meta-analyses, which combine results from lots of studies, consistently confirm that stereotype threat is real and significant. But they also stress it's complex. It's not some simple on-off switch. How it works can depend on the exact cues, subtle versus really obvious ones, and the specific group being targeted. For example, subtle cues might impact women differently than minority groups.
Right. It defies oversimplistic characterization, as you said.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know what it is. We know it happens. We've seen examples. But how? What's the actual mechanism inside our heads that makes performance worse?
Yeah, the how is key to fixing it. There's a good model by Schmader, Johns, and Forbes. They suggest it's basically three things happen at once, all draining your brain power.
Mm-hmm.
First, there's stress arousal, just feeling anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Second, performance monitoring. You start watching yourself too closely, second-guessing everything. That narrows your focus in an unhelpful way. And third, you're actively trying to push down negative thoughts and emotions about the stereotype. Don't think about it. Don't mess up. All that mental effort just consumes cognitive resources, disrupts your working memory, messes with your executive function planning, focus, all that high-level stuff.
Hmm.
And that's what leads to the drop in performance.
And we can actually see this in brain scans.
We can, yeah. EEG studies show the brain becomes hypervigilant to things related to performance when someone's under threat. And fMRI studies, looking at brain activity, show specific areas linked to emotion and social monitoring, like the anterior cingulate cortex lighting up more when, say, women feel stereotype threat during a math test. There's a clear neural signature.
Okay, so if it messes up performance and even learning, can we kind of fight back against it? Can we unlearn the effect or protect ourselves?
That's the hopeful part. Yes, research suggests we can. One study found that giving women gender-fair information before they learn something new actually helped them perform better on related math tests later. It implies that if you can reduce the threat before learning happens, people might actually acquire new information more effectively. Setting the stage is crucial.
That's really positive. So, thinking beyond just test scores again, what are the broader consequences if this happens repeatedly.
Oh, they definitely extend further. Short term, people might blame themselves for failures. They might even self-handicap, like not studying properly, so they have an excuse if they fail.
Protecting their ego, kind of.
Exactly. Or they might try to distance themselves from the group that's negatively stereotyped. And perhaps most damagingly, they might just start avoiding situations where they feel threatened altogether.
That avoidance, that sounds like it could have really big long-term effects.
Huge. Chronic exposure can lead to what psychologists call disidentification, basically deciding that area just isn't for you. So the woman facing math stereotypes might conclude, you know what, I'm just not a math person. It becomes part of her identity as a way to protect her self-esteem from concept threat in that domain.
Wow.
And there's also this spillover. The mental effort of coping with the threat can deplete your self-control resources for other things.
Like what?
Like maybe making poorer food choices, being more irritable or aggressive, making riskier decisions, or even having less physical endurance. The strain spills over.
And mental health, it sounds incredibly stressful.
It absolutely is. Feeling discriminated against, which is tied up with stereotype threat, is strongly linked to worse mental health outcomes. We see connections to depression, lower well-being, PTSD symptoms, anxiety, and that's even after accounting for things like socioeconomic status. The psychological burden is real.
Okay, this is clearly a significant issue with far-reaching effects. The good news, hopefully, is that people are figuring out how to combat it. What works? What can we actually do?
Yes, definitely. Lots of research is focused on interventions. Some are structural, like looking at how standardized tests are scored and maybe adjusting them. Others focus on mindset. Teaching an incremental theory of intelligence is a big one.
What's that?
It's basically teaching people that intelligence isn't fixed. It's something you can grow with effort. Convincing students their abilities can improve helps them feel empowered to overcome stereotypes. It leads to better performance, better study habits.
That sounds powerful.
It really is. And another one that's shown amazing results is self-affirmation.
Self-affirmation? How does that work?
It can be simple, like having students do a short writing exercise about a value that's important to them, like family or creativity. Just connecting with that core value seems to buffer against the threat. One study found this significantly boosted the grades of African-American middle schoolers, cutting the racial achievement gap by like 40%. Really remarkable results from a brief intervention.
Wow, 40% is huge. So individual mindset helps.
Right.
What about the environment itself?
Critically important. Changing the environment can make a massive difference. Simply increasing the representation of underrepresented groups helps foster a sense of belonging. Seeing people like you succeeding sends a powerful message.
Makes sense.
Even small changes matter, like altering the objects in a computer science classroom to be less stereotypical. Removing, say, Star Trek posters and junk food increased women's interest in majoring in the subject.
It's amazing how these subtle cues add up. What else about the environment?
Well, organizations can directly communicate that they value diversity. Promoting friendships across different groups helps minority students feel like they belong. And just reassuring people, especially when they start something new like college, that worries about fitting in are common and usually fade over time. That can normalize the anxiety and reduce its sting.
Okay, so lots of strategies. What about just telling people about stereotype threat? Does simply knowing it exists help you fight it?
That's a tricky one. Early studies looked promising, suggesting that awareness could eliminate the performance gap. But more recent research is mixed. Sometimes making people too aware, especially if it makes them feel singled out or like a target, can actually backfire and make performance worse.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So how you inform people is really crucial. It needs to be empowering. Like, here's something that can happen and here's how you can deal with it, rather than just watch out. You might be vulnerable to this.
Right. Context matters. Now, this all sounds very convincing and the evidence seems strong. But you mentioned critiques earlier. What are the main points of pushback or debate in the field we should know about?
Yeah, it's important to cover that. No major theory goes unchallenged. One big critique is about the size of the effect in the real world. Some researchers argue its role in actual achievement gaps, especially for certain groups like schoolgirls, might be smaller than often portrayed. And related to that is the concern about publication bias.
Right. You mentioned that. The idea that studies that don't find an effect are less likely to get published.
Exactly. Which could mean the published literature gives an inflated sense of how strong or consistent the effect is. Some analyses have tried to statistically correct for this potential bias.
And what did they find?
Well, some of those analyses concluded that after correcting for bias, the true effect might be very small, maybe even close to zero in some contexts.
That's a significant challenge to the theory. Is there a counterargument to the publication bias claim?
There is. Some argue the opposite, that maybe lab studies underestimate the real-world impact because they can't capture the chronic, day-to-day experience of living under a stereotype. They only capture the bit we can isolate and measure.
Okay. Any other major critiques?
Well, some initially suggested that maybe stereotype threat effects weren't unique, that they could just be explained by regular old test anxiety or something called the Yerkes-Dodson law about arousal and performance. But later studies were designed specifically to control for those factors, and they still found unique effects specifically attributable to stereotype threat. So while related, it seems to be its own distinct phenomenon.
So the consensus is still that it's real, but maybe complex.
Pretty much. The general agreement in the field is that the effects are real, but, as we discussed, it's complex context-dependent, and maybe not the single explanation for all performance gaps, but certainly a significant contributing factor that we need to understand and address. So, wrapping up, stereotype threat is this really subtle but powerful psychological force. It's not about people lacking ability. It's about how certain situations trigger anxiety and consume mental energy, ultimately undermining performance. Understanding how it works, the stress, the monitoring, the cognitive load, that's really the first step towards creating environments, whether in schools or workplaces, that are more inclusive and allow everyone to actually reach their potential.
That's a great summary. It really makes you think. How could knowing this change how you approach challenges or how you support colleagues or students? Could just reframing a task or being mindful of these pressures unlock potential in yourself or others? Something to consider. That's all for this episode. Thanks for tuning in.